Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And she could hear the highway breathing. Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. We're going to be doing the think tank coming up. Attorney Brad Young is going to join us in about an hour. Right now, we have all of our friends in from Operation Food Search and Hardee's. We have Melissa and Judy and Tony and Megan. And we've been doing this together for 7 years. And very proud to say that you guys have raised $638,296 so far. Which is a stupid number, and that is actually 10 times that, so over $6 million in actual value, because Operation Food Search is so good at this that they can take a dollar and they can make it stretch to $10. So this year, we have a very obvious target. We want to hit $700,000 by Christmas, and we can absolutely do that with your help. What we've been doing for 7 years is we partner with Hardee's, who just are just salt of the earth, wonderful people. And you just couldn't be simpler. You go to Hardee's, breakfast, lunch, dinner. The person at the counter or the drive-thru should ask if you want to give an extra dollar and get a DGS sticker. You should say yes. If they don't ask you, you should ask them to donate. And just know that you can give $5, $10, $500, whatever you want to give. It's very safe. It's going to go straight to Operation Food Search. If you do give through the website, operationfoodsearch.org, just make sure that you put something in there that is from the DGS. Good to see you guys.
Great to see you.
Always wonderful to see you guys. And we do this, we just get together once a year, right? We just watch each other age.
Time flies. Look at that.
So, Melissa, you're the newest to the audience. So
that's right.
Why don't you introduce Operation Food Search for everyone out there who's not used to this?
Right. So Operation Food Search, traditionally, we are a food bank, but we provide so much more than just food. We also provide services and programs. We're really well known for our child programs, and that's where Operation Backpack, that you guys are supporting here with this effort, comes into play. So that is how we support schools and teachers and the kids that benefit from a healthy nutrition source that comes to them in their backpack Friday after Friday.
And the backpack, just so you guys know, the DGS has supported 3,200 children who have received a full school year of weekend meals via Operation Backpack through Hardee's and DGS funding. So 3,200 kids. Amazing. And Julie, let me ask you, the reason we started the backpack program is really sad.
It is sad. Our former executive director, Sonny Schaefer, who is a legend, I would always give Sonny a hard time that we would create new programs because she was horrified when she heard something. But she was at a school luncheon and sat next to a school nurse in the University City School District. And the school nurse started talking about how kids were missing Fridays and Mondays a lot. And then when they would come back to school, they were constantly going to the nurse with headaches and stomach aches. And after a while, she started weighing them. And she noticed that they were losing weight on the weekends and they just weren't eating or eating very much. And so obviously that horrified Sunny, and she did a lot of research. And she, it started with one school in the University City School District with 75 backpacks, and it has grown to this thousands and thousands and thousands of kids on both sides of the river.
So if you keep up with the news, it looks like the government shutdown is going to end sometime this week, but we don't know for sure. And I'm going to guess that the effect of it isn't going to end tomorrow or Thursday. It's going to take a while to catch up on people getting SNAP benefits and, you know, things like that, and federal employees getting paid. What change have you guys seen so far with the shutdown?
Well, our team is in absolute overdrive because our partners that we work with are experiencing record demands. They have client needs that they can't meet, meaning if you're at your local food pantry, they have more people showing up in line than they have food to provide for. That is a very real concern, a very immediate concern that we are trying to meet through the inflow of more and more food resources. The community has been amazing in terms of providing that support, both through monetary donations, but also the food that is showing up, you know, food drives and things like that. So we're able to get food out just about as fast as we can. But because of the magnitude of this, I'm not sure that people really understand the magnitude. You know, we're still not really 100% meeting that need.
So I want to make a point, and it's the most obvious point, but I think it needs to be made, that like here at DGS for 25 years, we've been very philanthropic and Alzheimer's and veterans and all sorts of things like this. And they're all valid things to give your money to. But we're talking about people with empty stomachs. We're talking about kids who don't have meals. All due respect to every other charity, but I'm a big fan of immediacy. And this is about as immediate as it gets, right, Judy?
It really is. When we just talk about SNAP, the largest group who receives SNAP benefits are children. 39% of, imagine 100 people who are receiving SNAP, 39 of those people are kids.
It's
remarkable.
Crazy.
It's remarkable. So we have been in overdrive. It has been overwhelming. And one thing that we really want to express, and all of you out there can be our ambassadors. If you need help, or if someone else needs help, and maybe you've never needed help before, it's daunting. So go to operationfoodsearch.org, and there's a Find Food tab, and there's also a Kids Meal tab that you can click on. We have pages set up for make it as easy as humanly possible to find the resources that you need. So that's something we really want to stress, if you need help. And we learned a lot of lessons in COVID. We learned a lot of lessons with the tornado that hit in May. And so we can just snap into action the way we are right now. We're buying tens of thousands of dollars of food every week over and above. We're doing a lot of things over and above for kids in particular, mm-hmm. amping up and enriching the backpack program with mm-hmm. more food. A lot of our programs are intersecting with each other in a way that they haven't before. And we did this with the tornado. We have a program called Metro Market, and it's a farmer's market on wheels where people can, and it goes into areas where there are no grocery stores. And people can buy produce in particular at or below cost, like very low cost. But we're doing that. We're sending those trucks now to schools. We've just started that. And we've got more events planned, and we're giving out vouchers. We've allocated $60,000 for families of backpack kids to be able to, you can buy a lot of food for $5 on the Metro Market truck.
So, Tony, how and why did Hardee's get involved with this at the beginning?
You know, for us, Dave, we circle this date every year on our calendar because we know how important it is and what it does for our local communities. You know, it might be your neighbor. It might be the kid that you're coaching. You just never know who it is, right? And you said it earlier, it's that immediacy, right? It's something that impacts the community right away. And that's what it's about for us.
Yeah.
Just to be part of that.
I've told the story many times on the air that before I met you guys, I used to do a holiday thing with Salvation Army, and I went and met with them, and they had a little shopping center, and a guy was shopping there, and he recognized me, and he came up and he said, I just want you to know that last year I donated, and this year I'm here getting food. Like, you just don't know. And things are so sketchy right now, just politics and just the world and society and prices. You really don't know.
You really don't know. They're federal employees.
That's right.
The military.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've been partnering with two other agencies to make sure hundreds and hundreds of boxes of food at Scott Air Force Base.
That's just wrong. It's just wrong. I mean, like, anyone in the military should never need to go to a food bank.
37% of active military are food insecure. The families of active military are food insecure.
Before we...
Which is stunning.
Before we fix the next thing, we should fix that. Yeah. Before we fix something that no one really knows or cares about, we should get it to where more than a third of our military isn't dependent on food banks. Crazy. Absolutely. So how has the year been for Hardee's?
We're doing great. We got our some new product coming out. Actually came out 2 weeks ago, our grilled cheese bacon burger. If you like cheese and you like bacon and you like a burger...
We're all looking at Andrew.
We're all looking at Andrew.
turning around and looking in the green room.
But it's an amazing product. Cinnamon raisin biscuits are back.
So hello,
come
Rach.
See us in the morning. We'll take care of those needs as well. And we got a holiday spritzer to wash everything down with. So things are great at Hardee's. Come see us.
That's great.
And donate.
And we're at every Hardee's within the sound of my voice, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
So Illinois, Missouri, go to your favorite Hardee's.
Absolutely.
And like I said, it's all it takes is just go get whatever meal is your next meal at Hardee's. Do it often. Because it makes such a huge difference at such an important time of the year. And especially given what we've just had with the shutdown, this is really, really important. So we hope you guys will help us out with that. So anything we need to get out there before we let you guys go?
Thank you to everyone. It's just remarkable what the community does in normal times. And what we're seeing right now, we always just say, come over to Operation Food Search and see the madness, the beauty and the madness and the chaos that it is, especially right now. But the goodness of the community is overwhelming. Utterly overwhelming.
Something else we should point out before we break. If you want to actually be one of the people who works with Operation Food Search and packs backpacks and such, you can do that.
Oh, yeah. Go to operationfoodsearch.org. There's a volunteer tab. Fill out your information, and you can join another group or have your group come. In fact, Hardee's, we want to arrange for them to come in the spring.
Yes, we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I know, pack backpacks.
We should do a DGS day.
Definitely should.
Yeah.
Ooh,
bring a bunch of listeners out.
We have music blaring. We have a party.
That's awesome. Okay, quick break. Right back, DGS.
And she was taking off her dress. And she was moving very slowly. Rising up above.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 219. Happy Veterans Day. Happy Operation Food Search Hardee's kickoff day.
I can't do this segment.
Need to eat?
Yeah, I gotta eat my Hardee's.
That is a tasty burger.
Yeah.
I just, Dave, you got a little...
you got a little something, something.
A little something on the beard.
That answers whether there's mayonnaise on it or not. That's funny.
I just looked up. I'm like, oh, look at that.
Rach, you have a question for Wheels about the Kelces?
Did you see what Jason Kelce has said about why baseball is stupid?
Yes.
So he basically came out and said the Dodgers are just buying their way to the World Series, and that's why baseball is stupid and he doesn't watch. And I was just curious, what are Wheeler's thoughts on this?
Well, if that's the case, then why have the Dodgers only won like 3 World Series in the last 40 years?
And how do you buy your way? Is it by
well, they don't have a salary cap.
Players?
Yeah, they don't have a salary cap, so the big market teams can outspend, and they do outspend everybody. Mm-hmm. And it is an advantage. Like I think this is the problem, is what Jason Kelce gave was the lame, no nuance, dumb guy take of an issue that actually has some merit to it, but you have to look at the details. You can't just give us like, that's like saying, what he said is the logical equivalent to saying, well, all you need to do to be an offensive lineman is be a big, dumb guy. Like, it's not that simple. You got to have, there are techniques that are involved. There's knowledge involved. You have to understand things. And that'd be like me saying, just big guy, stand in way. And that's kind of the level of argument that he's making. But there's something to it. There is a valid criticism. But like the Yankees have outspent the entire sport for the last 20 years. They haven't won since 2009. So they've been spending crazy amounts of money and have not won anything in, what is that now? 17 years, 16 years? So, yeah, it's an advantage, and that's a thing that we, all of us as baseball fans, would like to see fixed. But it's not as simple as if you just buy players, you win, because there are a lot of teams that bought a lot of players that didn't win. I mean, they're Phillies fans. Those guys grew up, they're Philly fans. Phillies have the third highest payroll in the sport. They spent a ton of money, and they didn't win. They watched like everybody else.
Question. To the degree that you know, for example, ballpark, what do the Cardinals spend? What do the Dodgers spend?
So the Dodgers this year are about $350 million, and the Cardinals were probably, well, they were down this year, so they were probably $150 million. And normally, if they're like in their compete mode, they can be around $200 million.
Do we
$180 million to $200 million?
Do we know if the Cardinals spent $350 million that they would just make no money?
They would lose money. At that number. Now, they could, this, and this is why it's a more refined argument than what he's talking about, is that, yeah, all of these teams could spend more. The Pirates could spend more. They could spend quite a bit more. But to their view, it doesn't mean that they're going to be good enough to get what they need to get. And also, every owner is different. Some owners, I would argue the Pirates owner, cares more about just pocketing money than he does about trying to put a good product out there for his fans. And I know that because I know what teams make in their in the shared revenue. I know what they make from their national TV money. We know roughly what all the local TV deals are. We know roughly, we know what the attendance is. We know what the average ticket price is. We can come to a ballpark as to what each team's revenue is. And when your payroll is 20% of your total revenue or 30%, you're not trying. You're not trying. You're choosing to just keep that money as opposed to spending more money. And, you know, where the Cardinals tend to lie is they tend to be, and this is, it's different now because they're ramping down now because they're doing a rebuild. When they're in a competitive mode, their payroll is higher than their market size by a fair bit, but it matches their revenue, right? So they spend not on market size, but based on revenue. And revenues come down when you're not selling tickets, when you're not winning games. And that's part of why you cycle your payroll down when you're not competitive.
I think I heard you talking to Ackerman, one of the sports guys, the other day. I was eavesdropping. And I think one of you said that the Dodgers had already, in essence, made their Ohtani money back.
Oh, yeah, there was, I forget who reported it, but their contract with Shohei Ohtani was $700 million over the life of it. A lot of it is deferred money, which is, I think, one of the biggest problems that Major League Baseball needs to address. Because Shohei Ohtani, his contract is $70 million a year, but their cap hit on him is only like half that. Well, that's not cap hit, but their luxury tax hit. That's a loophole that you got to close. You can't let the big market teams say, okay, we'll give you this, but it's only going to count half against us, you know, in real time, because that gives you an advantage. You can push that. So they need to make that more difficult for big market teams to do, because the deferred money is a loophole that they can cash in on. But yeah, they've already made back the $700 million, according to, I forget who reported it, but it was like, because when you take into account corporate deals done in Japan, because he's the most popular, maybe the most popular human in Japan, let alone most popular baseball player.
I think that's true.
Yeah. I mean, he generates hundreds of millions of dollars a year just in Japan from advertising revenue and things like that. So the Dodgers benefit from that. And, you know, they're selling tickets. They're selling out their stadium every game. But the stuff that's just Ohtani, he's paying more than paying for himself per year. More than.
While I got you talking, why don't you talk about the University of Colorado and the video game study?
Oh, did you guys? So there are a couple of these different things that I threw on there because I think they're funny. They're interesting because it some ways it relates to other conversations we have, right? For how long have we heard these arguments that video games are making kids stupid, or they're dumbing down society, or they're to blame for violent behavior and all that? Well, we've seen all these studies now that actually show that, no, it's not doing any of those things. So the University of Colorado did a study that says that video games don't rot your brain. What they do is they train your brain. And of course, with all things, there has to be balance, right? Like if you work out a lot, but if it's all you do, you're probably going to get hurt. You're probably not going to be very healthy if you do nothing but lift weights, as an example. Well, that's true video games too. But what they do in the video games is the brain activity spikes. They found that active gamers are better at problem solving. They're better at than the average person. They're better at problem solving. They process information faster. They process information more accurately. And so there are benefits to doing it. Now, it can't be the only thing you do. That's the truth in anything, right? If you're a great musician, if you don't do anything but play music, if you don't eat well, if you don't exercise, if you don't get out of the house, it's probably not going to be healthy for you if it's the only thing you do. But that's how the picture is. And then there was another one, a study from the National Institute of Health that said playing video games is, quote, associated with better cognitive performance in children. So children actually performed better on testing if they played games than if they didn't, for those same reasons, problem solving, logical things. And then there was another study recently that showed that your brain ages 10 years slower if you've played video games. So your cognitive abilities in later years can be better by doing these things because your brain is working. So it's just the point that things that seem bad to people that aren't used to them cannot, they're not all bad if you really look at the details, and there can be positive benefits.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS on KMOX, 233. Just had Operation Food Search and Hardee's on at the top of the hour. Today is the official kickoff, so between now and basically Christmas, you will be able to go to any Hardee's within the sound of my voice, get whatever you want to get, great delicious food, which Wheeler just made a plate, and I said it looked like he's being put to death at midnight. He's got burgers and tendies and cinnamon rolls, yeah. And he's blown it
out. Got a little bit of everything, man, a little variety plate.
And then being Wheeler, you know what he's doing in here? He's counting the protein grams.
Estimating.
Sincerely, who could possibly care about that, Kevin?
Well, I do.
Why?
Because I got to get to my 180 to 200 a day.
Duh.
Or what, I deflate. What,
well, the chicken's going to have a lot of protein, right?
Yeah. I figured it out. It's probably going to end up, what I'm eating is probably going to end up being about 40 to 45.
And cinnamon grams. Biscuits are super high in
protein.
That'll be just the carbs for energy.
Yes. That'll get you through the show.
Yeah.
Let's do a DGS happy hour.
All right.
And I will start out. I wrote down art, music, PE last night because just, you know, everyone loved them, right? Mm-hmm. When you're in grade school, it's just how brilliant. I don't know who thought of that, but it was brilliant because it kept kids engaged. You know, you hated the schoolwork. Most of us did. But it's like, oh, man, PE's coming up in the third hour, blah, blah, blah. And I remember as a kid asking my teacher if this was basically a route to a career. And my teacher laughed at me and said, sure, if you want to starve. And I'm like in third grade. So it's like, you know, she's making a point way over my head.
Right.
But I'm taking it in. I'm listening to her. I think I proved her wrong.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like those things are going to work out for everybody in terms of getting rich, but it can still be what you love to do.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to make the choice. I tell my kid all the time, you don't have to make the choice based on just making money. Are you going to like what you do every day? To me, that's every bit as valuable as a paycheck.
Dude, I if it weren't a violation of Phoebe's privacy, I would read to you the text I sent her today.
Yeah.
But it was basically a little bit of a mea culpa on my part.
Mm.
And I basically said to her, hey, look, whether you've realized it or not, I've tried to take a really hands-off approach to your college. And I think it's important and maybe even critical so that you can really get the most out of it. That being said, I don't want to leave you hanging out to dry when it comes to career options and grad school. So when you come home for Christmas, let's spend some good time together. Let's put these puzzle pieces together, right? Because you want your kids to be independent enough that they truly get the benefit of being independent.
Yeah.
Knowing what it's like to put together a quote unquote budget, XYZ, show up to class, get good grades, get bad grades, pay the price for that. But I also don't want her to feel overwhelmed. Which, how do you not? She's not even 21 yet. And society is asking her to make these decisions, as it does all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's your kid, you feel a little extra special protection of them.
Sure. So. And the hard thing to do is, well, not the hard thing. I think the challenge that I found was, and since my daughter is the same age as Nick, so you've done this before already, it's that balance between doing the things that you know you probably need to do, but also not forgetting the things you want to do, right? Like you got your, so like the way my dad ended up raising me, and I didn't think of it at the time, but now that I'm looking back on it, what it ended up being was you're going to do the things you need to do, right? You're going to get grades because you're going to need those things. But I also want you to pursue the things you love to do too. And he encouraged the baseball stuff and all of those things because he didn't love what he did for a living for a lot of his life.
Yeah.
He made good money doing it, and that made him happy. And that has put him in a great position doing what he did. But there were a lot of days when he was in his 20s and 30s, he did not like going to work.
Yeah.
Because it was hard. It was physical labor. It wasn't easy. A lot of it early on didn't pay a lot. But he worked his way to get to that point, and he wanted us to be able to choose whether or not that was the path. And there is that path. If what you want is to get to a certain level financially, nothing wrong with choosing a job you don't love to get to your goals. It's all about what you prioritize.
So, Rach, before going into your happy hour topic, jump in on this. What advice, being the closest to that age of us, would you give to the Phoebes of the world?
It's such a good question, and I'm probably the wrong person to ask because of the way I look at like the whole employment landscape right now. I would feel really reluctant trying to tell any young person what they should be looking into because I don't know what careers are going to exist in 5 to 10 years. I would say, I guess, just try to diversify as much as possible. But I mean, I don't know. I'm sorry if that's like too bleak or too down and out.
It's honest.
But like it's tough. I don't envy people making those choices right now. It seems like a kind of a harder time than ever to make that kind of a choice.
Yeah. Which may even make it more important to think about what you like doing. If it's going to be a difficult choice or a difficult job market, and it is for people coming out of college, then if your choices are a difficult market that where I can find something I don't like or doing something I like and maybe not making a ton of money. But that's a hard thing for a lot of people when you're talking about student loans and things along those lines. I mean, every case is different in that. And it's like a sliding scale. What do I need to do? What do I want to do? And how do we make them work?
Yeah.
Ain't easy.
Who's got a topic?
I've got one. My topic is I think we need to start listening to Andrew more.
Oh. I agree.
I think she means a different Andrew.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean our Andrew.
She means Prince Andrew.
He is ahead of the trends. Yeah. All right, I take it back. I don't say listen to Prince Andrew. There's a new trend. It's called dark showering. And it's really good for your brain and for better sleep. And basically, they want you to take a shower in the dark because it's going to calm you down. It's going to make you zero in and focus and use the more logical part of your brain because you're cutting off all of the distractions that you have while you take a shower in the light. As we know, Andrew just like turns the lights out and sits in there forever.
I didn't
know that.
It
do be helping me, do think.
I knew that you talked to yourself in the shower, and I knew that you sat.
Sure.
But I didn't know that you did it in the dark.
I call them sensory deprivation showers, Dave.
All right.
I turn off all the lights. And I get in the shower, and I don't think about all those statistics about how 90% of household deaths happen in the bathroom because you slip or trip on something.
How dark is it?
All the way.
Okay.
Dark as I can get it. Because I know my way around the bathroom pretty well. Not to brag.
No.
I know my way around.
You've earned it.
Yeah, I know my way around the bathroom like the back of my hand.
Yeah.
So I turn the light off, and then I usually start the shower first. Then you can get everything arranged the way that you want it, right?
How long is this dark shower lasting?
Oh, 15, 20. I mean, it's not like an extra long shower.
I wish I could do that.
That's a long shower.
I don't do it.
My kids are both notoriously long shower takers.
Really?
I love a long shower.
And when I do take a shower, which is, as I've told you guys, very infrequently, 2 minutes.
If you get me in a good shower where the hot water doesn't run out. Like, I was in an Airbnb down in the Ozarks a couple years ago. And the shower was beautiful. It was kind of like a rain shower set up with a big giant window in the shower that looked out upon this like field where deer would walk through and eat and stuff. I was probably in there for 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I could just live in that. It's so comfortable. But a normal shower, and I can't do the dark shower, to be clear. I can't do that like before work or whatever.
I'll just fall asleep.
Yeah, I do them on the weekends, though. Is when I try to squeeze at least one in.
So
very relaxing.
Is this, and I just thinking of logistics, like is this a shower at night instead of the morning? So you shower at night and then it helps you fall asleep because you're doing the dark shower, or do you got to do both?
No, it's not. I didn't know this about the helping you sleep thing. I've not used it.
Yeah,
as
I didn't
any
mean
kind
for you. I meant the trend. Because
oh, okay.
I think you seem to lay out that it's
How many showers do people take a day?
I mean,
Michael Kelly takes two, but he's a crazy person.
He's a crazy person.
Yeah, I'd say one.
I take one.
Unless there's some outstanding circumstance.
I sometimes take two. It just depends.
I think the only time I have ever taken two is if I ended up doing something like outside that involved a lot of like, you know, sweating or getting a bunch of, you know, dirt or outside grass clippings, whatever, all over me. That sort of thing.
Then
I might
describe getting dirty.
Yeah, but see, like, I try to arrange it.
But I don't do a lot of that stuff.
Yes, I try to arrange it. So if I'm doing that stuff, I will just wait to shower until I'm done with that stuff. As opposed to like first thing in the morning, shower, and then I'm going to go work, and then I got to shower again.
Now you got to shower first because otherwise the sweat pores will get you all itchy.
Ah, no, I'm fine.
Rach, when you take two showers in a day,
yeah.
Do you wash your hair both times or do you have a shower cap?
I don't have a shower cap. I just put my hair in a bun.
Would you use a shower cap if we bought you one?
Sure.
Yay! I used to use a shower cap, and my dad thought I was a girl. Okay. My dad thought I was a girl about a lot of things.
Okay.
In his defense, I did use a shower cap, put a lot of cologne in my bath, and had my mom curl my hair with a curling iron in seventh grade. So.
Okay.
That's fine. That's okay.
Thank you, Rach.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you, Andrew.
Hey, that's good.
Still waiting Thank on.
Thank you, Wheels.
Waiting on
you,
one.
I was going to make you wait for it. I was like looking up at the ceiling.
That's funny.
It's the Kevin's anticipation.
Like, yeah, that's fine. If you're you are a girl.
Look, when you're a kid, you just do what you do. Like, I don't think.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean? Like, messed up if he was doing it now.
No, well, I mean, it would be a little weird now because he shaves his head. It'd be a little weird. He has a shower cap now.
I should get a tiny shower cap for my beard.
Yeah, it's called a surgical mask.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 249. Happy Tuesday. Happy Veterans Day. Today is the day that Operation Food Search in Hardee's kicks off. So between now and just about Christmas Eve, you can go to any of the local Hardee's and get something great to eat. Give them a dollar or more. Hopefully you guys will be generous. Give them $5, maybe 20, and get a DGS sticker, which I have yet to see.
We've got the design for you. I could show it to you right now.
Oh, no. Now I don't want to see it at all.
Okay. He's going to wait. I want to wait till later.
Yeah, I'm going to hold my breath.
Mm.
I started a new series last night, Pluribus, on Apple.
Yeah.
Getting a lot of positive reviews. Yeah.
Vince Gilligan, Rhea Seehorn.
Yeah, see, Vince Gilligan is meaningless to me. I didn't watch either of the...
I liked his island.
Of his shows.
Yeah, you
Although
should.
I feel like I have now on TikTok. I've seen so many scenes from them.
You should.
But it's good. It's interesting. It's very different.
You should watch Better Call Saul more than Breaking Bad, I think. I think you'd enjoy Better Call Saul more.
I do love him.
It's about a lawyer.
He's such a great actor.
He's spectacular.
Yeah.
Spectacular, and I think you could make the argument that it is a better show. I think I might like it more than I liked Breaking Bad. As much as I liked Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul is just it's a really fantastic show. And I think you would love the legal side of it
as well.
It really does get into that. And Michael McKean plays his brother, who is a much more successful, accomplished lawyer.
I've seen the scene with the phone battery. And
yeah,
they're calling each other by the first name, and I thought that's kind of odd. So
okay. Yeah, it's because that's his older brother, and resents the fact that Jimmy is trying to worm his way into being a legit lawyer when he thinks that he's nothing more than a scam artist. It's great. It really is great.
And when you started the Garfield series?
Was it Death by Lightning?
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched the first one last night. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
The acting's really good. The characters, they're all fun because you see the guys and you're like, ah, that's the guy from Boardwalk Empire. Look, that's the guy from West Wing.
I think it's great to have quality shows about historical eras and figures that we don't know very well.
Yeah.
Like, I not that you can do too much on Washington and Lincoln, but I've seen quite a bit.
I wouldn't mind, like, a really big blockbuster on George Washington.
That was one of the things I think that really drew
people. Have we had one of those? Like we had for Lincoln, like that? Have we had a Washington where it's just like all his life and his battles? And
if we have, I don't know it.
Yeah, I mean, he's in other things, right? Like you'll see references to him or characters, like his character will be in The Patriot or whatever. Like it's there in other things, but it's, I don't think I remember one where it's just George. Like he's the main character.
There's a really good, I forget what it's called, but it stars Jeff Daniels as George Washington. And it's really more about his right-hand man,
okay,
who's my ancestor.
Oh.
So Colonel John Glover from the Marblehead Brigade led the crossing of the Delaware. And he was evidently a real a-hole.
Oh.
And Washington has lots of writings about him saying what an absolute jerk he is. But he was a brilliant tactician.
Oh.
So that was a pretty fun movie for me to watch.
I want to read those journal entries. What are they like?
It's a lot of tea, like, being spilled.
I am so tired of this guy.
Yeah. But in old-timey language.
Yeah, it's probably just like, I'm so hungry.
I tire of the antics of this man.
I wish I could take a bath. I haven't taken a bath in 7 months.
Oh, yeah, and I'm hungry, too.
I'm so tired of eating sticks.
And it's cold. Need some shoes.
I wish I had a TV.
Dude, that had to be so miserable. Right? I mean, that had to be the most miserable thing on Earth.
I wonder what the most misery humans have felt would be.
Boy.
Plague, probably.
I mean, you got the battle in Ardennes Forest. What was that? Battle of the Bulge. Dude, those guys, I mean, it, like sub-zero temperatures, German tanks across an open field, blowing up the trees around you with shrapnel flying.
The few people who survived like trench warfare described it as literal hell.
World War One, the whole thing.
So it might
had to be.
Might be that
World War One might be it.
Yeah,
you know, where they're just like, you're literally just stepping on bodies all the time.
Yeah,
brutal. Did you ever see? I think it's called. It might be called The Way Home or The Long Way Back.
Yeah, yeah.
One where they break out of the Russian gulag.
Ed Harris.
Yeah. They break out of this is a real story. These people broke out of a Russian gulag. They escaped. They crossed China into India and then went back because they got stuck there and they couldn't stay. Like, and obviously some of the people in the group died along the way, but they went through the desert. They went through the mountains. They went through blizzard. That's insane.
They turned around and went in a big circle.
They didn't go back there.
They did not go back to the gulag, no, but they had to come back and retrace some of their steps.
No, I know we've passed that gulag before.
They could veer off back into Europe where they were trying to go home.
I rewatched a little bit of Frankenstein last night.
Oh, yeah?
A little bit of a spoiler alert, but it's not a spoiler. It just made me laugh, though, because Frankenstein creates the creature out of multiple dead corpses.
Yes.
And miraculously it comes to life. And within about 2 days, the creature is only saying Victor. And there's a scene in there where Frankenstein, the man, goes off on the creature because he's so stupid. And he's like, just say one other word. Just give me one other word. And the creature's like, Victor, Victor. And I'm thinking, first of all, he was dead 2 days ago. He's made out of corpses. It's pretty good. One, that he's alive. Two, that he knows how to say your name. Take it easy, Chief.
Seems like a nice guy, this Victor Frankenstein.
This is a really good Oscar Isaac impression.
Thank you.
I was very impressed.
Well, I have the benefit of looking like him.
You got lost in the role.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I hear that a lot.
Frankenstein.
So, Frankenstein.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.